Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's keep it moving. Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Boy, Kurt Warner gave us a lot to chew on during that last thing. And think the last conversation. And, you know, the craziness that's about to ensue here. You know, I know we're going to get into basketball, but I was just thinking about this more during the break. Like, so once the Bengals decide, and it is a tough decision, what they'll do with Burrow or Tua, then you kick it down to the second line here at the Redskins. They need to decide if Haskins is truly the guy, and if Tua gets that clean bill of health, is that something that they would consider doing, which there is now a precedent for? The Cardinals did it last offseason. And then if somehow the Redskins take Chase Young and decide, well, you know, we're okay with Haskins for now. Then you get to the Lions, who are wrestling with their own quarterback issues. Not that he's not good, but maybe it's time for change, but it's overly punitive given the $32 million dead money hit you would get for Stafford.
But still, I mean, it's gonna be crazy. But still, they could draft. It's no different than Eli and the Giants drafting, or the Giants drafting Daniel Jones, with Eli still making, what was his cap number, 25 or something last year, 26?
That's true.
Because they knew that it was coming to an end for them, and they needed to find or draft the replacement. The Detroit Lions could absolutely take a quarterback right now. And then
I just feel like they're not going to do that.
I don't think they are either.
Trade with Miami.
Maybe. Miami needs... Of all the teams that needs to go get a guy, it's Miami. And Miami has a few options to go after, whether it's the Redskins, the Giants from the NFC East, or the Detroit Lions we were just talking about, who are sitting in the three seed. You're right. It's going to be a lot of, like we say it every year, but this one feels like particularly important. There's going to be a lot of movement because the teams that we thought were going to be horrendous and like guaranteed slotted top one or two actually messed around and won a couple of games.
Like the
Miami Dolphins.
No.
And so they're actually farther down at number five than we thought they were going to be. We thought they were shoo-in number one. Maybe at worst, number two behind Cincinnati, because we knew they would be bad as well. Chargers, we didn't expect they would be where they are, number six. But now moving on from Phillip Rivers, they absolutely need a quarterback in the conversation. So there's a lot of teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback. It's crazy.
We've been given some good stories. You know, a couple of years ago, it was the five players went in the first round with all those players. And, you know, some mixed bags so far, but obviously Lamar.
The last one.
The last one
picked in the first round ends up winning the MVP.
Last year, Kyler Murray was very good. This
rookie
year,
of the year.
You got a lot. It's very fun. So, all right. Tiki's all over the Rockets.
I just enjoy watching the Rockets, man.
And I'm not here to strip away from that joy. I just do want to give you a little perspective before you start waxing poetic about your Rockets, which I know you're about to do. So they scored 140 last night against the Memphis Grizz.
Memphis Grizzlies are garbage.
The same Memphis Grizzlies who haven't won before or since before Valentine's Day. February 12th was their last win. The same Memphis Grizzlies who, well, missing their second-best player. We'll give Ja Morant the edge. He's their first, and Jackson's their second. Jackson's been hurt, hadn't played since the All-Star break. The same Memphis Grizzlies team that's given up in some of those recent losses, 129, 117, and 124. So they don't stop anybody. Not to say what the Rockets did last night wasn't impressive, but I'm going to ask you again. Why am I going to change my thoughts on what they can do?
They've got five straight wins, the Rockets. Boston, Golden State, Utah was in there. the Knicks, Memphis. I mean, they've won five in a row.
Say those teams again. Hold on. Just say them again. Hold on. So,
Boston.
Terrific.
Golden State.
Horror show.
Utah Jazz.
They cannot figure out what to do with Mike Conley. They got big issues in the backcourt. They've lost three straight. They were going to bench somebody. Then they weren't. Well, I mean, the Jazz are a mess right now. They're still decent.
Right?
No, but it's when you play. I'm saying when you play somebody.
Yeah, I agree. Of course it is.
The Knicks.
And then Memphis. But it's also how.
Horrendous.
It's also how they're winning. Like, they're winning by dominating around the perimeter. And they've sacrificed the lane, and they've given up, I don't know, whatever, how many points in the paint. But it almost doesn't matter because they know that with all the shooters that they have on the court, somebody's going to have a mismatch. So it doesn't matter who it is. And all these guys are shooting. Jeff Green knocked down a couple of three-pointers last night. And he's basically their glorified center, even though he's a short, small forward or power forward by trade at this point in his career. But they all have license to shoot. And not only that, and this is what I noticed by watching this game in real time. So not just looking at the stats and, you know, looking at the highlights.
Yeah.
They're actually playing really good defense as well. Now, part of that is because last night, at least, the Memphis Grizzlies were sloppy, like really, really sloppy with the ball, like not even being able to get up, you know, past half court before they would turn the rock over. And obviously, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, those guys would go on fast breaks, scoring easily at the rim.
It looked like the Vancouver Grizzlies, really.
They really
looked like for a little bit.
That's true. But what I've noticed is that this a team that used to not care-ish to play defense is playing really good defense right now. And some of that is because of Russell Westbrook. Now, Russell Westbrook, who I've had my, I don't know, issues, I guess, would be the way to best describe it with, because he is such a magnificent player. Obviously an MVP for the last three seasons, this one not included. He's averaged a triple-double, which is just, I mean, it's just spectacular, the statistics that he was putting up in Oklahoma City. And you knew that once he came to Houston, that wasn't going to be possible because James Harden is the man. And James Harden is the one who's putting up triple-doubles, and he's a great assister, and he's a great rebounder. It was like two guys doing the same thing. But what's happened is that these two guys are feeding off of one another. And when James Harden sits down, Russell Westbrook gets run of the show. And if you don't play sound defense on him, he's going to run you out of the building. And that's what he did last night, and it's why Ja Morant, who is probably going to be Rookie of the Year. I mean, maybe Zion sneaks in there and steals a couple of votes, but I think it's Ja Morant's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
Said, basically, we're disrespecting Russell Westbrook. And prior to him coming to Houston, I wouldn't have thought this about Russell Westbrook. So as much as this is a conversation about the Houston Rockets and how they're playing small, and you got to give credit to Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey for being innovative and saying, dude, everybody else is going these other ways. We're going dead-ass small. You got Tyson Chandler on the bench who didn't play a minute last night. Maybe he did play a minute or so last night. But they're changing the narrative in a sense. But it's opened up Russell Westbrook. And I thought this like a couple of weeks ago. Now I've actually really seen it. He is a player that I enjoy like observing now, mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook. Whereas before, I was kind of like, yeah, you're just a selfish player who wants to get all the stats and have triple-doubles, and you're never going to win. I don't feel that way about him anymore. And I think John Morant's right. We kind of just underappreciate what he can be in the right kind of system. And he found the right system in Houston.
Well, he has, but I still don't think it's a system that's going to really win anything because, okay, so right now they're a four seed. They will play the Thunder in the first round.
Yep.
They'll win that series. I do offer this concession that they're becoming more viable than I thought they would be. This is a little more than a 4-5-6 game experiment that is kind of tricking people. I still think it's very much in the infancy of opposing teams trying to figure out how to stop it. So I think if you get into a seven-game series, which encompasses 2 weeks, as playoff series do,
in preparation,
your
and
preparation and detail becomes very different, which I believe will seal up a lot of holes that are right there for the Rockets right now. I still look at the Rockets. Now, granted, they need to – we have to at least, to be fair to them – these numbers reflect the entire season and not so much the recent trend, but they are 21st in the NBA in points allowed. Mm-hmm. All right, so you get to the NBA, You give up points. Your defense is soft. That's a problem. So they're going to get pounded inside by the three top seeds because the Lakers, even if LeBron plays center, Lakers have some big bodies. Denver certainly does with the Joker. And the Clippers could go big in spurts as well, at least bigger than them.
It's nuanced a little bit because we saw this against the Jazz. Now, the Jazz is the perfect game to break down because the Jazz are pretty good, right? They obviously have had some issues, but they're pretty good, but they're big, right? And so what happens is you get Rudy Gobert, who was Defensive Player of the Year.
I think it is twice.
Was it back-to-back? Maybe it was, but he's Defensive Player of the Year. He gets matched up on Russell Westbrook, and the only thing he can do is sink and, like, dude, just don't dunk on me, right? And so Russell Westbrook is sitting here taking mid-range jumper after mid-range jumper after mid-range jumper after mid uncontested, by the way, because Rudy Gobert can't come out there, because if he does, he's going around him, right? It's just like this tactical advantage that they have playing like this. And just to combat your point about points, like, they give up so many points because they play so damn fast. Like, they come down the court and shoot. It's not like, okay, maybe I'm going to run a pick and roll and maybe you're going to get open. It's like, okay, I crossed you up. You took a half a step back, ball's up, right? And they get long rebounds because it's so spread out. Their athletes are more equipped to run into spaces and get second chance points. It's just really interesting to watch. And I didn't think I would love it, but I actually love watching
them
play.
You're such a nerd with this.
I just can't help it, man. It's like, here's the thing.
You have really
here's
latched
the thing.
Onto it.
Regular
That's cool.
season,
That's cool.
Regular season basketball in the NBA is boring as hell to me because they play so slow. It's like, let me just get into the half court. Maybe I'm going to pass it. I probably am not. I'm just going to sit here. And okay, well, let me shake this shit. Oh, great. It's just boring, right? The Houston Rockets are exciting to watch.
They are.
On any given night. I don't care.
Even last year they were exciting.
Agreed. But I don't care if they're playing the Los Angeles Lakers or they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies, who are on a serious slide right now. Four games in a row they've lost. Maybe five if you
last
go back
one
before.
Last was February 12th.
Four games. It doesn't matter. They're interesting to watch. And I just get the sense that this construction is perfect to challenge in the West because nobody else is doing it.
Everybody, challenge to get to the NBA Finals challenge?
Now, here's the only way it happens, BT, because I thought about this. Right? The only way it happens
LeBron
is
LeBron gets hurt.
No, not
Kawhi
even.
Kawhi says, I don't want to play basketball anymore.
They got to climb. They can't sit here at four and expect to beat the five seed and then go from there.
Let's see.
They got to climb up to two. So that they end up taking
They're in striking distance.
Exactly.
Two games out of the second.
That's right. So they got to climb up to two, and then they got to beat the Jazz, right? And then have the Clippers and the Lakers knock each other off, and they get a shot in the Western Conference Finals to outshoot whoever it is that they end up going up against. So, like, it's unlikely, BT, but for the first time in I feel like a long time, Mike D'Antoni might have a chance to be justified in how he's out his style of play. Only because they took this like serious risk. Like, who the hell does this? There's nobody big on this team. Nobody. And I mean, Tyson Chandler's there. He doesn't play. Like, he doesn't play at all. So it's all about being aggressive, spreading you out, taking shots, playing better defense than they ever have, and winning games in many different ways. It's just exciting, man.
All right. Can the Houston Rockets? I'm going to say this now. Somebody send this to the Houston Rockets, all right?
Here's why they can win, too, by the way, BT, if they get to the NBA championship. It's likely going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. What did we have this conversation about yesterday? The only team that can beat the Milwaukee Bucks are a team that can shoot three-pointers. If there's a team that's going to get to the NBA Finals and beat them by standing around the arc and saying, all right, you guys want a pack line? Great. We're going to shoot three-pointers uncontested. They shot 50 yesterday. They made 23 of them, man.
Somebody send this clip. We're just what I'm saying right now. I am subject, and I like it because I respect the passion for sure. And by the way, the passion is validated by recent results. It's like you're pulling it out of thin air.
And if they didn't have these results, I would not care. I'd be like, all right, whatever.
I'm giving you props. You started to point this out about 10 days ago. It piqued your interest. Well, this is bad. I completely tossed it aside. It's more viable than I thought, but somebody in the Rockets organization needs to send this guy a Rockets shirt.
Nice.
I'm not kidding. Nice. A Rockets jersey.
I actually might wear it. I don't have any.
send it to CBS Sports Radio. Tiki. Don't send me anything. This is not for me. Send this guy something who's been talking more about the Rockets than anybody that I know. And quite frankly, has been right more than anybody I know thus far. Now, again, I don't think the reward is there. I don't think the rainbow is going to last. I think they're going to get, because we haven't even gotten into Harden's pension for coming up small when it matters. We can't get into that now. We don't have time. Segment's over. And I don't want to ruin the optimism here. He's earned it. Send this guy a Rockets jersey, a Rockets hat, something Rockets. You could put it on that side of the room.
Nice.
You know, over your shoulder, next to your Giant helmet, next to your UVA gear. Send this guy something with the Rockets. He's earned it. He's earned it.
You know what we won't get, though, BT? Mm. Anything Philadelphia 76ers.
No, that's true. We'll get to the Sixers coming up next. Down goes Joel Embiid. Is the process officially Flopville? Oh, boy. We'll talk to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, GEICO.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So now let's go to the exact opposite of the Rockets, who are balling, playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the 76ers here, who are pretty much at the end of the road with the 76ers, to me. You know, Joel Embiid got hurt last night. We spent so much time on them yesterday. It's amazing that he gets hurt yesterday or last night, the day that we spoke about them. But we really shouldn't be that surprised because he gets hurt every single year.
Mm-hmm. It's always something. Usually lower body, but this one is... Well, actually, he had the hand.
The hand.
Yeah.
That's almost something I can... That's just a misfortunate, unfortunate...
That just sucked.
Bad fortune.
Yeah.
I look at the 76ers now, and it, you know, I think that we really doled out far too much praise early in too many different directions that are not accurate.
You mean in total?
In total.
At the roster construction. Yeah, and everything.
Yeah. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, you know, you say what you will about Elton Brand. You know, it's funny. So one person says it, and then everybody tends to latch onto it and speak it as truth. And people have said, somebody said it on our show, Elton Brand is one of the young best GMs in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, then why did he let not one, not two, but three shooters walk out the door like he did last year with J.J. Redick, Ilyasova, and the three shooters walked out the door. He gave money to the wrong guy in...
Tobias Harris.
Not even Tobias. I'm forgetting the... from the Celtics.
Horford.
Al Horford. Yeah, I do not like what he did there. There's been no organizational push or reinforcement of professionalism when every single season Joel Embiid shows up out of shape with no repercussions. Mm. You know, the kid that you draft to run your point still is terrified to shoot outside of a 4-foot radius.
How many is he taking? Three?
No, I think it's about 10. He hit the first one against the Knicks at
10.
This point. Yeah.
So he's one of 10.
I didn't see him hit another one. I know I actually saw the first one live.
It would be news.
I gotta check it out.
If he hit another
True.
One.
I think he's attempted more than three, a few buzzer beaters. Certainly not more than that. I've only seen him hit the one, and you're right, it would have been on SportsCenter. Hey, look who knocked down a three ball last night.
Well, let's not forget this, though, BT. They have won 50 games 3 years in a row. So they've had success. So it's not like it's a failed experiment. I think that Elton Brand, and I remember saying this at the time, when they signed Al Horford, and obviously they re-signed Tobias Harris, even though it was an enormous deal, but in basketball, whatever, it's a deal's a deal. You sign it. But it just felt like, man, these guys are big, right? They're going to have size everywhere. Hell, even their point guard is 6'9", and can play. And if you're going to go small, he can play center. Like, he can play point center for you. And so I think it was a gamble that Elton Brand was undertaking to say, everybody's putting shooters out on the court. We don't have them right now. We can't sign them. Like, we can't hang on to the J.J. Redicks at 25, whatever he made last year.
23.
$23 million. So let's gamble and get big and just dominate and clog up passing lanes so people can't drive and kick and do all that other, you know, fun stuff that these teams that are playing with pace and space are trying to do. And it just hasn't worked out. And the main reason it hasn't worked out is, one, because of what you just said, Ben Simmons hasn't evolved, right? I love Ben Simmons, but he's not evolving.
No.
Right? And at some point, when are we going to stop believing that you are? That's why when you look at this potential conflict of having Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and you're thinking about who am I going to keep, you got to keep Joel. At least Joel, you know, he's a 7-footer. At least he takes 3-pointers. At least he gives you a bit of option for offensive schemes. Ben Simmons doesn't, other than being a great athlete and a unique point guard. And so I think that Elton Brand took a gamble and it didn't pay off. And now he's stuck and can't find his way out of it.
I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying it was easy, because when the money that the Shooters were making versus what you needed to do to retain, to enhance, to tweak, I understand that. I think that that's a fair assessment. I need to paint this picture for everybody, because this is organizational, and this needs to be said, walk through in these terms. His first year at LSU, mm-hmm. This is about player development. This is the core, essence.
You're talking about
Ben
Simmons.
Yep. Of what the NBA is all about. Yeah, you need to get a little lucky with the ping pong balls. Then you have to draft the right players, and then you've got to make sure you put them on the track and develop them properly. 33 games at LSU. 33. How many threes do you think you made?
At LSU?
Now, shorter stripe, a lot closer.
I'm going to say...
In college.
20.
Zero. Zero.
Wow.
Made no threes at LSU.
Did he? He at least attempted a couple.
0.1 per game.
Get out of here.
Yeah. 0.1 per game. Doesn't play his rookie year in the NBA, as we know. He sat with injury, right?
So, like, 30 games? What did he take, like, four?
20.
Is that 0.1 over 30 games? That's, like, four? He took four the whole season? I mean, come
something
on.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you draft him knowing he's got incredible skill set, tantalizing skill, but the one thing that he's deficient in is the one thing that you have to do well in the NBA to really flourish.
Yep.
He wasn't drafted in 2004 when things were still evolving.
Yep.
He was drafted at the height, the apex of the Warriors bombing from everywhere.
That's a good point.
33 games in college, none made. Sits out his first year as a rookie. The next year, now this is his third year actually playing in the NBA, he has made in totality 2 3-point shots. Two. So we did miss the one. He hit the one versus the Knicks. I guess he hit one other one.
Yeah.
I think it may have been the Pistons for whatever reason. I think I remember that. Maybe not, though. So the kid that you draft, you knew what he couldn't do. You've had him under your watch in your basketball laboratory for 3+ full seasons. He hasn't made a damn, not even a modicum, an increment, a step forward, nothing. No progress in what has been his most obvious glaring weakness.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, I mean, who was that on?
Why I started the segment with saying this needs to go in every direction.
Yeah.
Coaches, ownership, the executives. That to me is unfathomably crazy.
I mean,
that's crazy.
I don't know why. I'm just trying to think if there is a reason that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot 3-pointers, what would it be?
Right? He's scared.
But why? Because
tons
of people, like players who have zero business shooting 3-pointers on a nightly basis, mm-hmm. jack up 2 or 3.
It's not about feeling,
you know what I mean,
as if I have a license to do it.
Yeah.
It's not about the freedom to do it. There's something in his mind and in his body that has made him very aware of him not being able to do it. He's probably overplayed it in his mind, quite frankly. And I don't think, first of all, we've seen him launch threes in pregame. It's not the best looking shot, but it's certainly not completely broken. It's not like when Markelle Fultz was trying to will himself back, shooting from his ear like Jamal Wilkes. I mean, it wasn't like that, or Sean Marion flipping this wacky 3-ball from the corner. It looks somewhat representative of an NBA 3-point shot, somewhat. I think he's got to commit to one hand. I still think he's in between there, which I think is really the source of probably his main issue. Why doesn't he shoot threes? He's in his own head now. But the fact that the Sixers haven't permeated that space and broken that down, that's on them.
Yeah.
That is on the Sixers.
Yeah.
And that's horrendous.
And if you got to be outside of the box, go have them see a sports psychologist. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in your head, because I don't know how else I don't know why it's anything other than being in his head. Right? Because guys in the league shoot 3-pointers all the time. They know they're not going to make them,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they think they will, but at least they try.
Yeah.
And that's part of the game, especially if you're the point guard, especially if you're the ball handler, especially if you have a great step and physicality to the rim. You just add the threat of it. You're changing how defenses and schemes can be pitted against you. And by not doing that, you're making the team one-dimensional and, as a result, making the team worse.
Yeah, and this is why the 76ers, why it's a flop. It's officially a failure. Even though Tiki's right, they've had a couple of 50-win seasons. Certainly when you compare where they were post-Iverson, try to find their way, it was not pretty. I get that. So 76er fans were galvanized, and you know, a lot of games on national TV, and they were certainly, to an extent, quote-unquote, back here. But what is fundamentally broken with the Sixers, and I don't know what the answer to this is, if you want to play through the big guy down low, all right, which on some level you can because he can also float outside and he's a decent passer, that's problematic because he's almost always overweight and he's always hurt.
Yep.
So that's number one. Number two, if you want to roll through your point guard in a more conventional modern NBA way, how the hell do you do it when he doesn't even let it go from three?
He's got to be able to shoot. So given what you're saying, BT.
I think I'd trade them both at this point. I think that's what I'm coming up with. Get rid of them both.
That's a complete reset, a restart.
Well, you're not going to win with these guys.
But if you had to choose one, who would it be? I kind of agree with you, but if I had to choose one,
I would choose Simmons.
You would move Simmons.
I would keep Simmons.
Oh, wow. I would go the other way.
I would keep Simmons.
I would keep Embiid because at least you know that when push comes to shove, he can turn his back to the basket and go do something in the post.
And then go and miss 20 games because he got hurt on route to the basket. Now, I need to see Simmons.
That's mitigated because, or at least, like, in the back of your mind, you got to now be thinking of Ben Simmons.
For sure.
Also might have this forever problem.
I'm not saying it's easy.
No.
Assuming that this is
talking
just...
talking about his back.
His back. A little issue, and he's going to just, you know, eventually plow past it as, you know, as a savvy young athlete. His body's going to regenerate. The more I think about it, I don't think it's a home run answer, and I think I'm in the minority by saying Ben Simmons. But there's so much that he could do. Think about if you surround him with legitimate shooters and he even gets something that just halfway decent represents, even if he shoots 31% from three. You know, you could even almost live with like 29. Just let it go once in a while.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. That's... although he's not really letting him go anymore.
He's not.
He's going right to the rim. It's crazy how fleeting their success appears to be. How envious... I know I was as a Knicks fan, how a lot of people were as basketball fans. Wow, you've got this behemoth inside who's got a nasty streak and can step out and hit threes, and you've got a 6'9 point guard who can get by you whenever he wants and get to the rim. Well, there you go. They can't win a road game because they're not professional.
Nope.
Because then Embiid is lazy and overweight.
And goes out to the club every night.
I can't confirm that, but I can confirm he shows up out of weight, you know, out of shape every camp, and that's just not somebody who's a professional. And, you know, it's funny. You want to throw this on Brent Brown? Brent Brown's no Pat Riley, but, I mean, eventually the ownership has to come at the play. You got to drop the blame at the doorstep of the player. Like, when you were playing for the Giants, whether it was Coughlin or Fossil, there's various checking points. Your weight's never going to balloon. You're a running back. You're blessed, you know, and you were, you know, a diligent athlete. But it was upon you. It was incumbent upon you to keep yourself in shape.
Of course, and especially you guys doing ridiculous things like going out partying, showing up to practice drunk, things like that. That's on the player.
That's on the player.
That's not on the coach.
That's true. All right. How about this? Nice bump. Let's get to this. In Wilder Fury, great bump in the pay-per-view numbers, the buys here. But is it enough to bring back the heavyweight division? Looking forward to this conversation. That's up in Inbounds, Out of Bounds. We'll get Axe update right now. Here's Rich. Rich, take it away. Hey, this weekend on CBS, a back-to-back College Hoops doubleheader starting on Saturday with number 3, Kansas, going to Kansas State, followed by 13th-rated Auburn at number 10, Kentucky, taking on the Cats. Then on Sunday, Big East action, Xavier and Georgetown. And one of the fiercest rivalries in all the college hoops, really sports for sure, Michigan visits number 25-rated Ohio State. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. I'll tell you, speaking of the Big Ten, who's having a nice season, is Penn State. Penn State's having a great basketball season. I think they're 16th in the country.
Yeah.
They found a way. They actually had a 20 or 21-point lead last night against Rutgers, and they basically blew it all, and then they came back to win it at the buzzer. That place was, I think that's called the Bryce Jordan Center. I believe that's the name of the arena on campus in Happy Valley. It's usually all about football, but it's few and far between.
Yeah, rarely do you see Penn State basketball like exploding like this, but there's excitement out there.
For sure. Matter of fact, one of the only times that I can really, truly, vividly remember there being a real passion for Penn State hoops was when one of our friends, the show, John Crispin, was playing there. His brother Joe was the point guard. John was on the team. He transferred from UCLA. And, what was the big man's name? He used to block a lot of shots. He was drafted like in round two. I'm forgetting his name, but they had a good team. They made the tournament, obviously, so the Crispin brothers were there. But right now, Penn State fans are pumped up. College hoop season is taking shape. So as all that stuff I just read coming up over the weekend on CBS, a lot of college basketball possibilities to latch on to. Teak, do you want to divulge in 20 seconds this ridiculous whatever your buddy just sent you here? What is
this? I saw this on social media, Instagram. My buddy sent it to me as well. He said, according to reports, Tom Brady is likely done in New England. Mm-hmm. A potential landing spot is the New York Giants. Like, come on. There's no chance. I mean, that's what I know. People are just pulling stuff out of their rear. There's no chance Tom Brady's going to the New York Giants. I know why they're saying that. It's because it's the speculation with Joe Judge, who was the special teams and wide receiver coach up in New England. So there's a relationship-ish, but it's not.
No, what he did with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
He just said him.
Sorry, Daniel. Peace out. Chill for 2 years. And then Tom's going to be done, and you can come back.
Although, imagine Brady working that line of scrimmage and how much he would free up Saquon Barkley, being able to manipulate things that Daniel Jones just can't manipulate yet.
That's a good point.
Not happening, but still. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go, Diesel. What do you got, pal?
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, inbounds, out of bounds, brought to you by the new TracFone Wireless. New unlimited talk and text smartphone plan starting at $20 per month. No contract. Here we go, Tiki. We mentioned this with Kurt Warner before, which, by the way, was a superb spot. Just go to radio.com, Apple iTunes, check it out. It was great. Hit all the quarterback stuff. So the Redskins have the number two overall pick in this draft. And after selecting Dwayne Haskins 15th overall a year ago, the expectation is that they'll select Ohio State's Chase Young. That's been most of the industry in UN, though. However, the Skins have a new coach. We know that, Ron Rivera. He was with us at the Super Bowl as well. Joined us here on Tiki and Tierney. And reportedly planned to meet with Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. You got to do your due diligence. Part of the deal. You never know. So yesterday, Rivera called Haskins, quote, a very good young player, but explained why they're speaking with both Tua and Burrow.
Before we do anything with the number two pick, we got to see what happens with the number one pick. And so once that pick goes on, then we'll go from there. But again, as I said, everything's an option. I mean, we're, you know, as far as in talking with Kyle, we've talked a couple of times already what, you know, situations potentially be. But the truth is, we got to see what happens in front of us.
Okay. Lots to ponder there from Ron. Riverboat Ron. So today, ESPN's Mel Kiper said the Redskins should, quote, no doubt take Tua at number two. I don't disagree. In or out. If Tua is fully healthy, the Skins should trade him and draft Haskins.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this.
Should draft him and trade Haskins.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, but.
Yeah, Haskins reclassified. He's going back to the
draft. Yeah, I know, right? Like, what he's just said. And maybe I'm just thinking.
No, I heard the same thing. Go ahead. Right? I'm going to let you say it.
We got to see what happens with number one, and then we'll determine what we're going to do at number two, which tells me that they want someone that might go number one.
Yep.
And then if they it's got to be a quarterback.
Process of deduction.
Exactly.
Someone's left. It's like, the guy we want.
Exactly. It's like we want two of them, and if they take Joe Burrow, then we might take two. That's what it sounded like.
It sounded like that to me as well.
Look, their offensive coordinator is Scott Turner. He was with him in Carolina. So he worked with Cam Newton, but he was also with the University of Michigan, which is more pro-style, drop back, throwing the football. And Minnesota, he was there with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm talking about Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator. So who would he more likely work with? Well, I want to use it as information and say, yeah, he'd be more of a Tua guy versus a Dwayne Haskins guy. Mm-hmm. But I actually think he'd be more of a Dwayne Haskins guy. And so I'm going to say out of bounds. But, man, that sounded really interesting.
It did. Okay, listen. So I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here. I think everybody likes Tua more so than Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to answer out of bounds for this reason. Because I'm playing the cards here, and I'm going to treat this as if I'm in the casino. And Ryan really trying to squeeze out as much value as I possibly can. Everybody wants to move up to that two pick. So I think if there's every year to drop back, what you can do, what you can get in terms of equity, both of their lines are pretty solid. Their defensive line, they've got a couple of young horses up there, which is, I think, about a step and a half in front of their offensive line, which is also still pretty good.
Right. Alabama North.
True. They got three guys or two, at least two.
At least three.
Is it two or three?
It was three because of A safety. Why am I forgetting his name from the Giants?
Oh, Landon Collins. Yeah. I thought you meant just up front.
Oh, no, two
guys up front, yep. One in the back. Yeah, the three.
And I think
total.
They got a linebacker as well. So.
Alabama puts up pros. Here's a news flash. I'm going to say out of bounds, and if you play this the proper way, you can walk away maybe with an unprecedented draft haul. And because I believe I saw a little something from Haskins,
yep.
which we did the last couple of games, there's enough intrigue to go back to the well for a year. And even if he's not the guy, what you get back in collateral should probably dull any pain you feel for electing not to go after Tua if Haskins turns out not to be the guy. So I'm going to say out of bounds, a little nuance there, but that's a tough call. That's not an easy one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. The Lakers are a Western Conference best 44-12. They hold a 5-game lead over the Nuggets. However, tonight, against the Warriors, Tiki.
By the way, I was right. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, and Ryan Anderson.
So it's four.
So it's four guys. Okay.
Tonight against
Samter should have told me that, but he's not paying attention.
No, he's not. However, tonight against the Warriors, LeBron will sit the game out with a sore groin. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if he's hurt, to be honest with you. And I have no problem with that.
No.
Just his third missed game of the season after missing 27 a year ago with a different groin injury. In or out. The Lakers should hold LeBron out at least a couple of more games, even if he is fully
out of bounds. BT, LeBron is a Warrior. He wants to play every game, so he's got to make an excuse to have a maintenance day. This is all this is, a maintenance day. Mm-hmm. They have a back-to-back coming up over this weekend, and then they have Memphis and New Orleans. There is no way that he's sitting out that New Orleans game in New Orleans, both of them on the road. So I'm going to say out of bounds to this. Let him sit out a game against Memphis. They don't need him. But play against New Orleans.
Well, I mean, selfishly, of course I want to see him play against the Pelicans coming up this weekend. I don't care if he plays against the Grizzlies. I'm with you on that. But big picture, I believe they should hold him out a few more games.
Hmm.
Because if I say out of bounds, I why have I wasted all my energies the past few months talking about how I think this is to his detriment?
Good point.
The energy he expends every night. So I love watching him play. He looks like he's 27, 28 mm-hmm. years of age. He's obviously on a mission to show people that he's still the man. It's still his league. The dunks, the flair, the dynamic nature in which he's playing, it's awesome. It's inspiring. But the big picture is championship. And an extra game, an extra two games, an extra three, if it came to that, that's fine. And by the way, embolden the other guys, you know, that don't play big minutes, that don't get up a lot of shots. This way, when they are called upon to make a couple of big, you know, big shots on the road in the playoffs, they're in a position to do it. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, how about this? Wilder Fury was a smash that has brought many fans back to the sport. I'm one of them, so mm-hmm. are you, at least yep. the heavyweight division. Now the pay-per-view numbers are in. The fight hit close to 850,000 buys. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's nearly triple the 300,000 buys for the first fight. That's great. It's the most for the heavyweight division since Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis.
Wow.
Yeah, got a little bit below 2 million back in 2002.
Wow.
I mean, that is incredible right there. Wow. And fewer, by the way, than numerous Canelo and Pacquiao fights, which have almost always surpassed the 1 million buy mark. In or out. While the numbers are a big increase of the first fight, pay-per-view buys for Wilder Fury 2 are disappointing for the heavyweight division.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think they're disappointing. I think they were so low for Wilder Fury, which was an interesting bout because nobody knew the opponents. Like, we knew Tyson Fury's name, but he hadn't fought in 3 years. And then Deontay Wilder, yeah, he was an undefeated American, a heavyweight champion with a great story, but who had he beaten? And so I think now the interest has started to percolate. We're starting to get interest and eyes back on the heavyweight division mm-hmm. with both Wilder, who has a chance to, I think he did exercise that trilogy, but also Tyson Fury, who's as charismatic as a heavyweight can be. And then Anthony Joshua, who's around the corner with the other four belts. Like, it just is really, I don't think it's disappointing. I think it's showing momentum. It's showing growth. Like, fight over fight growth, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you put out a new TV show and you don't advertise it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you maybe if you stumble upon it because you're flipping mindlessly through channels, That has been the heavyweight division for a long time.
Yeah.
The reason why, like, The Masked Singer or certain shows, Man vs. Bear, not just kidding, get incredible ratings like that, the Gold Rush on Discovery, these phenomenons, is because there's familiarity with the concept, there's rooting interest, and you are inspired to go back and watch again. So $300,000 was 300,000 buys for the first fight was very low because nobody really cared. Nobody really knew a ton about their stories. You know, relatively speaking, there wasn't much history between the two. And familiarity breeds contempt. That's a long time expression, but it applies to everything. You know, not just literature, but also fights, especially in the fight game. As a fight fan, you know, yeah, you might want to bet. You might want to win money. You might want to watch the signs if you're really truly an enthusiast of the sport. But you want to buy a fight and root for somebody. And you can't speak to that passion until you know the stories and you see it. Now we know it. By the way, two landing spots really start to separate themselves for Brady.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.